This is the Fulham Podcast on the Football Hour.
That's right, you're listening to the Football Hour with me, Dom Betts. Thank you for all support on last week's episode. It got over 140 plays on our Audioboom channel, which means it's our highest listened podcast so far, and it did help us reach over 1,000 plays on our Audioboom channel this month. Us here at the Football Hour, me, Alex and Ryan, are very, very grateful for your support. So keep up the support, listen on Audioboom, follow us on Twitter, subscribe on iTunes, and you'll get all our content straight away.
Remember to visit our website, thefootballhour.com, for all our latest podcasts and articles.
On today's podcast, I was joined by Joe Bartram, another Fulham fan, so I'll let him introduce himself right now.
Hi, I'm Joe Bartram. I'm a season ticket holder at Fulham, and you can find me on Twitter at JoeBartramFFC.
First off, we'll talk about MK Dons. I remember seeing a few weeks ago people were discussing whether it was a must-win game or a must-not-lose game, and is it the biggest game of our season? How do you view tomorrow's game or today's game whenever people are listening?
I think it is a must-win game. It probably is the biggest game of our season so far as well. The reason I say it's must-win, I think if you look at MK Don's fixtures coming up, I think we've got the strongest set of games. You know, with Preston and Cardiff and Brighton coming up, we desperately need 3 points in this one to try and push on, really. If we don't get them today or tomorrow even, I don't really see where the next 3 points is coming from, whereas I think MK Dons have got a couple of home games against Rotherham and Wolves, I believe. And so even if we win, really, they'll still be confident in getting points. But I think we have to win to create a gap or a bigger gap between us and them.
If you were Slavisa Jukanovic, how would you go about setting up tactically for this game?
I think he has to have a different approach, really. I think he's focused too much on the defensive aspect, which worked to some degree against Birmingham. But I think, depending on fitness, I think he has to persist with Parker and Ince in the middle. And then I think you have to find a way of getting the most out of Kearney and McCormack again, and whether that's switching to a 3-4-2-1 like he has done with Dembele at the top and with the three centre-backs, whether he goes with a 4-4-1-1. I think, personally, he should switch back to the 3-4-2-1 and I'll probably play Parker and Ince with Garber and Fredericks, and then Kearney, McCormack and Dembele, and then a back three of Stearman, Orbieta and Maddle.
So going on to Dembele, everyone has said he's played like he's been demotivated and not wanting to play for the club since the whole Tottenham move fell through in January. Do you think if he continues his form, Corley Woodrow warrants a starting place in the squad?
It's hard to say. I mean, Woodrow's been out for a while, obviously. I think Dembele, he played well at Reading. He showed good runs. You know, he ran deep there. I think the balls would go over the channel and he was running into them well. I think he started well against Burnley as well before he started getting wasteful with his opportunities and really missing some good chances. And I think that knocks his confidence a bit. I think Dembele is slightly overrated. I don't think he's quite worth the hype he's got. I think obviously it's understandable because he scored the goals. You know, giving Woodrow the chance on Tuesday and then bringing Dembele back in next week, depending on how it goes, I think there's an opportunity there to at least rest him for the midweek and give Corley the chance.
We are now available on iTunes. Just search The Football Hour on the iTunes store and subscribe to receive all our latest podcasts straight away.
Moving away from the whole just focusing on tomorrow's game, I mean, every Fulham fan has different opinions on this, but what do you think ultimately is the reason we're in the situation where we are just a few years on from being a solid Premier League team?
I mean, there's loads of factors for it. I think the reality is that, you know, Asel Fayyab was winding down his time with the club. He obviously wanted to spend less, obviously knowing he wasn't really investing long term for himself being chairman. I think he put too much trust in Martin Jol extending his year contract beyond 2013, that summer. I think that was the crucial moment, really, because Martin Jol, his track record of signings wasn't great. Berbatov was kind of a stopgap for losing Dembele and Dempsey. Most of his signings were poor. He struggled to replace key components of the side in sort of 2012, 2013. He got by for a while with the mainstays, you know, the Murphys, the Bairds, the Dempseys, the Hughes, the Hanglands. But when that started to sort of fall away, he didn't bring in the right players really to sort of help with that. In the long run, we've been fighting a losing battle ever since, really. I mean, we probably could have stayed up in 13-14, but we'd have been fortunate to do so, really. We deserved to come down. We were poorly run. You can't really blame Shoaib Khan. You know, he's put the money where his mouth is, and it's just been poorly spent and poorly advised, really. I do think Jol wasn't the right man at that time to sort of oversee the transition between chairman, which, I mean, if we'd have seen it properly, if the right man had been in place, even someone like a Pulis or an Allardyce, even though I'm not a fan of them, we would now be talking about, you know, our 16th consecutive year in the Premier League, because we'd have overseen the transition, and since then it's just been a losing battle, really.
Talking on the pitch as well, pretty obvious that the reason we haven't even got anywhere near the playoffs was due to our defence, and it's quite confusing because, you know, on paper we've got some solid defenders in centre backs such as Tim Ream, Richard Stearman, who was Wolves player this season last year, Fernando Morbieta, who was a solid player for Athletic Bilbao. Why do you think our defence has been so bad in the last few years, even though on paper the defenders are actually decent players?
Ream was Bolton's player of the year last year, and things, and we've got players there, you know, Fredericks, who played for Middlesbrough, doing well last year, and Garber was playing for England under 21, so on paper it should be decent. I think there's a number of reasons. I mean, if we did put out our strongest back four consistently and we had Bettinelli in goal for the whole season, I think we could have built some cohesion there. I think the problem's not just with the personnel in defence, it's the whole team. I mean, O'Hara has played the majority of the season, and he simply isn't good enough to play at this level. You know, he was relegated as part of an awful team last season, despite being their player of the season. He was still part of a poor side, and he was a poor player in it, and he doesn't offer enough support to the defence. And when you've got either a Parker or a Christensen, their game is more about getting around the pitch rather than being in a fixed position. I think, you know, we've struggled as a team constructively to defend, and the organisation's been poor. And whereas Simons, I think, understood that and put more attempt to say, well, we'll score more than the opposition, we'll, you know, we'll outscore you. Savisa's kind of tried to go back to basics and focus on making us a more solid, compact side. But obviously, we have too many individual errors in there. And, you know, Dan Burns, he's been our most prominent defender this season. And the reality is he's nowhere near good enough for this level. He makes too many mistakes. When you have players, as you say, on paper, like Stearman and Ream, even Hutchinson, Amorbieta, Maddles coming in and done well, who are simply better players. You know, you have to play your best players, and we've not been doing that.
Even you go back to McGatt, even as far back as that, why do you think managers have persisted with Dan Burn when it's clear he's not good enough in the multiple amounts of defensive mistakes he's made in the last two seasons, three seasons at a push as well?
I think you have to assume he's doing something in training that obviously gets him selected. You know, he doesn't show enough on match days. I mean, when he was out of the team last season, we performed stronger, you know, without him, and he was making mistakes. I mean, even, you know, you can kind of forgive him for the Premier League. You know, he played well at Old Trafford in the 2-2 draw, but even back at early last season, he gave away the penalty against Norwich when we were 0-0, and I think we were 1-0 up, and, you know, we could have gone back to 1-1 in that game. He got turned by Ismael Miller against Blackpool. You know, he's made so many mistakes throughout his career as a Fulham player. You have to question the judgment of certain people, and I don't understand it personally. I don't understand how he can be picked, but he has to be doing something in training, or it may well be down purely to his height. I mean, even though he's poor at defending set pieces, they must feel that he's more adept at championship level dealing with crosses and set pieces, even though he's poor with them.
Because set pieces have been our Achilles heel for many years now, really. I mean, we've conceded the most in the league, apart from, I think, two other teams, it's nearly twice as many. And, I mean, you could put that down to also, we had Lonergan in goal for such a long period of time, who was so poor at set pieces. And I think it's now Bettinelli's come in, we might concede less set pieces, but you never know with that sort of thing.
Again, we're so poor at set pieces, isn't it? But it's not just that, it's anything in the air. I mean, as you say, Lonergan never wanted to stray too far from his line. He didn't command his area at all, and that just brings a lack of confidence throughout the defence. And so at set pieces, the amount of goals, I mean, even I think of the Rotherham game where we cleared the first ball, and then the moment he came back in, there was just so much the lack of organisation. There doesn't seem to be enough leaders in there. And for me, Stearman and Ream and Morbieta and Maddle, if you can find the right combination and have them as part of the right team, they will play well enough. I think all four of them, even Hutchinson as well, are surrounded by better teams and better players. They will succeed in this level, you know, whereas Dan Burn won. He's a League One player.
Moving on to Hutchinson, I mean, he started a few games at the beginning of the season, specifically Hull away at mid-August, I think it was. Why do you think he's just been overlooked ever since? I mean, I didn't think he did anything particularly wrong.
I mean, he made the mistake against Brighton with the rash tackle for the penalty, but obviously that was proven to be outside the box. But other than that, again, I mean, against Huddersfield, you can maybe say he was at fault for the goal they scored. For me, he's clearly better than Byrne. He's clearly a better all-round defender. He's obviously not a great defender. I mean, he's never going to be a Premier League defender or anything like that, but he's clearly a more all-round, competent defender than Byrne. And again, you could argue, you know, Maddle now's coming and done better and things like that, but with regards to Hutchinson, I just think he's been poorly treated, really. I think he deserves better than he's got.
And before I record next week, they're going to be playing Preston. Do you think that's a bigger game than Cardiff? Or do you think Cardiff's the more winnable game for us?
They're almost the best of the rest, really, Preston. And you kind of wonder if, for them, they're not really with a realistic chance of the playoffs, so they may not have quite the same appetite as Cardiff next week, where they kind of, you know, Cardiff obviously quite close. I think it's all dependent on what happens tomorrow. I think if we can get a win tomorrow and back it up with a point against Preston, which would be, then be a good result. But the reality is now, is in any game in this league, you can't really predict it too much. I think the Cardiff game at home, again, if we can get a decent result today, then the atmosphere won't be too venomous. So hopefully we can sort of create at least some sort of positive atmosphere around the cottage that we had for the first sort of half an hour really against Bristol City, because obviously the games against Nottingham Forest then is obviously winnable at home, and the final game against Bolton's winnable at home. So I would say out of the two, they're pretty evenly matched, to be honest.
You can listen to all our latest podcasts on our Audio Boom channel, audioboom.com/thefootballhour.
And to conclude, what do you predict for the rest of our season? Like, do you think we'll comfortably stay up, or do you think it's going to be a struggle to the last few games such as Brentford and Bolton?
I'm not optimistic, if I'm realistic. I mean, and Rotherham, if they can beat Leeds tomorrow, they're going to pull even further away. I think Bristol City now, you can almost see them pulling those way as well. It's almost a, you know, it's one out of us and MK Dons, and I think with the fixture list we've got compared to theirs, if we're still in it with the last two games against Brentford and Bolton, then I'll still be happy that we can hopefully get results in those two games, but I wouldn't want to call it.
You've been listening to The Football Hour with Dom Betts.